WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Thousands of people are still in the dark and cold tonight in Moore County, North Carolina, where authorities are searching for whoever destroyed power substations. CBS's Mark Strassman is there.
The two words are disruption and discomfort. I mean, it's December. If you're in a house without power, I mean, that house can get pretty cold pretty fast, and you might be able to tough it out for one night, maybe two. But by Wednesday or Thursday, if the power's not restored, you've got potentially, you know, some grumbling people, and understandably so.
Temps there are in the 40s. Actress Kirstie Alley has died.
Kirstie Alley had hits on TV with Cheers.
Don't you stop loving me.
And in the movies, like opposite John Travolta in Look Who's Talking.
Can I get the other letters or what?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want to get involved in this.
Her children say the 71-year-old died after a short cancer battle, thanking a Tampa Cancer Center in their social media post. Travolta, in his own post, writing, "Kirstie was one of the most special relationships I've ever had." Matt Piper, CBS News.
Senate candidates made their final push today ahead of tomorrow's runoff election in Georgia. Here's CBS's Skyler Henry.
Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock began his final day of campaigning with members of the Teamsters Union in Atlanta.
And I promise you guys, if you stand up with me just one more day, I'll stand up for you for the next 6 years.
Republican challenger Herschel Walker continued his Evict Warnock bus tour.
Now we're working on turnout, turnout, turnout.
Walker needs big turnout to win.
In Texas, the community of Paradise is mourning 7-year-old Athena Strand, whose body was found 2 days after she was reported missing. CBS's Omar Villafranca tells us a FedEx driver is in custody.
Athena's grandfather posted a statement on Facebook forgiving Horner, saying in part, "I want 5 minutes alone in a cell with the psycho that took our Athena away from us. But there's a soft, gentle voice in the back of my head telling me I need to forgive him."
Ukraine's working to restore power after getting hit by another round of Russian missiles. Jackie Leonard with the BBC.
There have been electricity blackouts in parts of Ukraine after Russia fired a new barrage of missiles. The worst cuts are in the east and south. The city of Odessa was left without any electricity.
Ukraine says nearly half of its energy system is now down as it enters a peak frost period. The man who stole Lady Gaga's French bulldogs last year has been sentenced to 21 years in prison for attempted murder. He shot the pop star's dog walker and took the pups, which authorities say could be worth thousands of dollars. The Lady Gaga connection turned out to be just a coincidence. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40-by-60-foot building or a 50-by-100 clear span building at end-of-the-year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, December 6th. In Wood County, the Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The City of Wisconsin Rapids will hold their Finance and Property Committee meeting at 4 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The City of Stevens Point will hold their Police and Fire Commission meeting at 2 p.m. In Portage County, the Traffic Safety Commission will meet at 10 a.m. at the Portage County Law Enforcement Center LEC Training Room. The Space and Properties Committee will meet at 3:30 p.m. in Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Executive Operations Committee will meet at 5 p.m. in the same rooms. The Land and Water Conservation Committee will meet at 7 p.m., also in Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the Land and Water and UWEX Committee meeting will take place from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 16 overnight under overcast skies with a few flurries possible at times. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast again tomorrow. Highs level off around 32. Lows dip down to about 17 tomorrow night. A mix of clouds and sun Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 33. 35 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Sometimes technical difficulties happen and you just power through.
It gets glitchy.
I think it indicates. Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bry. Thank you.
Leakage can be a problem.
In many aspects of life, yes.
It's kind of like, what did I say yesterday? Pus-filled lesion.
Oh, my favorite.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Happy Monday. Monday, December 5th. It's the opening hour. It's 11:06. Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, our home base of Waukesha, of course, Madison tonight. And good morning, Jane Madnair.
Good morning, my friend Kristen Bry. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's just another Monday. We're doing the things. We're here. We're going to have a great show. It is the 11 o'clock hour, and I'm pretty excited about the different guests we have. We're trying a new structure.
Yes.
We're trying to do current events, news, the first hour, second hour, doing fun, interesting interviews with
little
journalists
deeper dives.
And doctors and deeper dives on bigger topics and ideas that we're going to kick around. And then the third hour, have some fun. And so, you know, not every day, but we'll play with it. But we're trying to give a little more expectations as far as what you're going to look forward to each hour of the show every day.
Exactly.
So on today's show at the lunch hour, we're going to talk to Dr. John Raymond, who is the president and CEO of the Medical College of Wisconsin, about the triple threat. No, not the triple threat in basketball, but the triple threat of the viruses of RSV, influenza, and COVID, talking about what to look out for, when to seek more help, what you can do to stay healthy, all of those things. And then at 12:30, we're going to talk to mental health reporter for USA Today Central Wisconsin, Natalie Eilbert, who published a story that she was working on for almost 6 months about Wisconsin being a state where if you are a minor, your lack of access to healthcare without your parents' approval.
You can't get it.
You cannot get it. And what that means for the upwards of 20,000 minors that are experiencing homelessness in Wisconsin at any given point, that number blew my mind.
There are 20,000 homeless kids?
That's what the expected, and it, experiencing homelessness.
Okay.
So as far as, not necessarily on the streets, but
with no home.
Yes.
Maybe couch surfing.
For reasons of, and we'll get into it with Natalie, because we can talk more about the reasons why children are not living with their parents, but also the gap between needing healthcare, whether it's a broken leg or mental health meds, And if your parent says no and refuses to sign, doctors are handcuffed and cannot help you in Wisconsin. So we're going to talk to her about that at 12:30, which I'm really looking forward to. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to my friend Dusty Weiss, who has a podcast called Lead Balloon, which is a marketing podcast.
This is so cool.
But he did a podcast from an F-18 with the Blue Angels flying around.
Yeah.
And he's going to be here to tell us what that was like. How do you carry out a conversation and hold an interview while you are trying to keep your lunch down?
I can't even imagine. I rode in a trick plane once. I rode in a trick biplane, and we did loops and rolls and all of those things. And by the time we landed, I was feeling pretty good. About 5 minutes after we landed, I started turning green.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So his experience must have been a billion times more.
I know. I can't wait to hear about it. And then we'll close out the show with friend and colleague Don Brown, who hosted the our coverage of the Waukesha Parade yesterday. And so I want to hear a little bit more about how that went. I saw the pictures and some of the videos. It looked joyous.
It really did.
And joyful. And so, so we have a fun, interesting Monday show, which is what we always want you to think of our show as, fun and interesting. And so you can always join the conversation at 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. But to start the day off, I saw this and I was like, all right. So the headline reads, Republicans are hoping to defuse abortion as a driving issue for the upcoming Supreme Court race.
Gee, I wonder why that would be.
That's exactly. I was like, of course they do. And, as we probably all know at this point, one of the major theories as to why there was not a red wave in our state or in the country, why potentially Tony Evers held on to being governor, is because of the overwhelming support Wisconsinites, people in the country, have to have access to abortion care. And right now, there is a pending lawsuit in Wisconsin that is challenging our 1849 criminal ban. We should probably get either Josh Call or someone who knows more as far as what the process is, because I know that's
it's a little murky.
It's a little murky as far as what steps are. And there's a part of me that also thinks how much of this murkiness is because of this Wisconsin Supreme Court case. That either side potentially either dragging feet, like whose interest is it to either speed up or slow down this case until we see who is going to be elected to be the new Wisconsin Supreme Court justice? Because this is a case that would likely get in front of them, and it would be decided by them. And so thus this headline of Robin Voss talking last Friday, speaking about how he hopes that we can diffuse the abortion issue as a driving issue to not be the only issue people are voting on when it comes to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Because I would imagine he knows that it is a losing issue. And so what they are trying, at least in his remarks, I read this from Corey Hess from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It was published on Friday, and it was conversations around his hope to come to a compromise and a solution within the legislature and Governor Evers to pass a new bill, either like a net new bill or amendments to the 1849 ban.
Right.
But it's like, that is a negotiation. And this is what lawmaking looks like. And so Governor Evers has said he would not sign a bill unless it codifies abortion rules that were in place under Roe v. Wade. And what I find frustrating is the fact that in this same article, Voss once again lays the claim out that radical Tony Evers wants abortion up until up until the baby is coming out of the birth canal.
That is so infuriating.
It is so,
so infuriating.
This is what he said. Robin Voss said, I hope Governor Evers can have a legitimate conversation about where middle ground can be. We don't want to have a Supreme Court race that is supposed to be about dozens of issues being about one topic that shouldn't be determined by the court. And
then he's, where did, I forgot where he said this, but basically, once again, claiming that Tony Evers is too radical, when in reality, what Tony Evers has said he would compromise on is putting back in place what was, because under, in Wisconsin law, there was limitations.
Yes.
There were more limitations as far as it was not as up to 24 weeks. Like there was under Walker, new laws passed, which is tied up in what the court case is that Josh Call has filed. As far as can we enforce an 1849 ban after it wasn't enforced for 5 decades? And I do agree that I think that the Supreme Court race is about more than just one issue. But if there can't be a compromise as far as what listening to the poll after poll after poll of what people actually want in this state when it comes to access to abortion and the law that Voss wants to put in place is if you, in cases of rape or incest, you need a police report. When 77% of sexual assaults are not reported to police.
Right. It's just not that, it's nothing is just that cut and dried. You know what I mean? It's not, not, it's not just black and white. And I think what irritates me almost more than anything is the assumption that women are just going to forget. And we've talked about this before. That, oh, it's not a big thing. The ladies are busy with other things and they don't, oh, they, you know, they don't have time to worry about that. Yeah, they do.
They do. And they're reminded of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the thing we hear again and again. You're reminded of it if you're in a situation where you have an unwanted pregnancy and you're reminded of it in situations where you have a wanted pregnancy.
Absolutely.
As the doctors and people from Planned Parenthood and more people are saying, the shift in the conversation that is happening at these, what should be exciting doctor's appointments at 12 weeks, at 16 weeks, at 22 weeks, with the testing that happens as far as understanding the health of
your fetus
and the nervousness that mothers, parents, couples are walking into these doctor's appointments having is a total shift because we're now living in a situation where if something goes wrong, the hoops you have to jump through and the time you have to travel and the care that you receive is not what it was.
Well, and don't forget that we still don't have specifics on how close to death mom has to be before we can save her. And it's hard to wrap your head around that.
And we don't have rules around what doctors can prescribe to pregnant women. What care do they receive if they have a diagnosis of cancer and they're pregnant? And if they have, you know, there's so much that because of this standoff, we're not having conversations about. And yes, in an ideal world, this is something that the legislature and Governor Evers could settle on before it goes to court. I don't have a ton of confidence that will happen. But the only reason why I kind of think it will is because this is a losing issue for Republicans.
Well, that's a good point.
And so we're going to keep talking about this when we come back. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. All of the time.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win 2 value baskets and 2 concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
All night, lows dip down to about 29, cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Who's in there? Vote them out. That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. As always, you can join the conversation of this topic or any topic that we talk about. We'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. The topic of the day, to start the day, this Monday, December 5th, is Republicans are hoping to defuse abortion as a driving issue. Specifically because we have a Wisconsin Supreme Court race coming up, and they would prefer for abortion to not be at the center of it like it was for our most recent election last month. And they don't want it to be a one-issue contest because there is a lawsuit in Wisconsin challenging the state's abortion ban that could and likely would head to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And that will be a major talking point, along with redistricting. Those are the two that come to my mind as far as what the big monumental cases that will likely go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But I would also love to know, because I think we're going to do a whole series on this. I actually, and not just the race, but also the context of this, how partisan the Wisconsin Supreme Court races have become, because it's supposed to be a nonpartisan position. It's obviously not.
Right.
Like, there's not even a secret of pretending like it is, right? The people who are backing what was just the one conservative candidate was former Justice Dan Kelly, who was appointed by Scott Walker and then lost to Jill Karofsky in 2020 as of last week. Jennifer Doro, Judge Jennifer Doro, who, you know, has a lot of name recognition now because of the Daryl Brooks case and the Waukesha parade. She announced last week that she is also running, considered to be more of a conservative judge. And then there is Janet
Protasiewicz.
I was practicing this morning. Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell, who are both considered left-leaning liberal candidates. But I would love to get someone on here, because I wasn't here. But when you think about the money that's involved, the lobbying firms that are involved, who backs whom, and then the ideology that plays out in what should be just looking at the court and looking at the law, doesn't always happen, even though they run on that. Like, just last week, I think I saw that there was a luncheon that three of the four. Supposedly Judge Doro couldn't make it there, but it was at the Fisher Hotel, and it was the Wisconsin Association for Justice. And so it was really the first time, right as they're gathering their signatures right now, that the three out of the four contenders met. And basically, almost all of them said they're running to get partisanship out of the court. And, you know, like exactly what you think that they would say, which is like what we all want, but isn't how it works. And so obviously this race is very important because it could switch the control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Right now it is a 4-3 conservative leaning court, but with Ruggensack leaving the court, it is a wide open seat with a lot of issues at hand. And I think a lot of issues that are motivating on the redistricting side, if they can make a big case as far as the state wants fair maps.
Absolutely.
Regardless of, there is a lot of Republicans who want fair maps, because even if you are a Republican, right now, your state assembly rep, your state senator is much more beholden to their donors and to the party and to Robin Voss than they are to you as their constituent, because that's what they need to stay in their seat, is the party's support, not their constituents' support.
And that's why nothing gets done.
That's why nothing gets done.
They don't have to respond to anything, because they know they will be a shoe-in practically in the next election. So as we've talked about, the abortion law, medical marijuana, there's universal background checks, red flag laws. There are so many things that Wisconsinites agree on and would like to see happen, but Wisconsin Republicans don't have to respond to that because of the gerrymandering. Yeah.
Funding schools. I mean, we just had, as we talked last week with Ari Brown, the amount of referenda that was passed because, lo and behold, people want their services, whether it's schools or emergency services, being police, EMT, funded.
Shocking.
And so we're certainly going to spend a little time every week, if not a lot of time every week, talking about this race, but not always just the horse race of who the candidates are. Like I said, I would love to get people on here who can give the background of when did this get so partisan? Because I don't think it was always like this. I think looking at what does a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice do? What kind of cases go ahead of them? And what is important as far as how we elect these people? And what we should be looking for as our criteria, and how does that differ from other elections that we go vote in? And so we would love, if you have questions about this race, what information do you need to know to make a decision, or just what would get you motivated to make sure that you vote in this election?
Because it's not a sexy race.
It's not a sexy race. We would love to hear from you as far as give us a text, shoot us an email, because it is certainly something I'm very interested in, but because I've only been back for like almost 3 years. And so there's so much history behind this that trying to get more people to actually fill in the blanks of what this has become and why it's so important is certainly an ongoing topic and series that we will do on this show. All right. Well, we are going to move on, take a break quickly, and then when we come back, some other headlines that caught my eye. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Vote 'em out. Vote 'em out. Vote 'em out. Vote 'em out. And when they're gone, we'll sing and dance and shout. Bring some new ones in, and we'll start the show again. And if you don't like who's in there, vote 'em out.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning.
Access to technology and school supplies.
And even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
I'm Naheem Hines, running back for the Indianapolis Colts and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in. Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Former Milwaukee Elections Commission Deputy Director Kimberly Zapata made her initial court appearance on Friday, where she posted a $2,500 signature bond. She entered not guilty pleas to three misdemeanor counts of making a false statement to obtain an absentee ballot. She is also charged with misconduct in public office, which is a felony. Zapata is represented by an attorney from the Thomas More Society, a conservative law firm that assisted former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman in his review of the 2020 election, which was funded by taxpayers. Zapata's next court appearance will be December 9th. Wisconsin gas prices are falling. AAA reports the statewide average for regular was $3.70 a gallon on Friday. That's about 60 cents lower than a month ago. Some stations are selling gas for less than $3 a gallon. Experts are predicting prices will go even lower this week. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 16 overnight under overcast skies with a few flurries possible at times. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast again tomorrow. Highs level off around 32. Lows dip down to about 17 tomorrow night. A mix of clouds and sun Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 33. 35 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.com
or wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify. We already talked about this. You're not a podcast person.
I have the Civic Media app, however.
Yes, which you can download that and stream us
anywhere.
And any of the stations, any of the shows live across the network. And also, as always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. So now we're going to do just headlines. I feel like as I've done this show now going on 5 months, there is a lot of news that happens. There's a lot of important stuff that happens. It doesn't always need its own 15-minute segment.
Right.
But it's still important.
Yes.
And so this is, we need to come up with a better name for it.
News tidbits.
News tidbits or things that caught my eye, or because I feel like things you should know is
things, a little on the nose.
Things you should know.
For me, I feel like it's a work in progress as far as what we're going to call this segment. But for now, it's things that Jane and I are going to chit-chat about, certain things we found interesting.
Kicking around the news.
So the first one, group calls on Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to escalate clergy sex abuse investigation. And, well, I'll give a little more context and then kind of say my two cents on it. So there's a Madison-based secular group that is calling on Attorney General Josh Call to escalate the kind of the ongoing statewide review of clergy sex abuse that launched last year. And there was a release of names that was like nearly two dozen names by the Catholic Diocese of Superior, which said that there was credible claims of sexually abusing minors made against these people. And so this was an investigation that was launched last year. It was an independent review. And in April of this year, Call said that he had received 204 reports that led to criminal charges in one case. And it seems like this group is trying to pressure the pace of the investigation. But it's ongoing, and the DOJ is still planning to issue a report of its findings once the review is done, but it is still in review. And I almost feel bad admitting this, but to a certain extent, do some of the clergy sex abuse scandals make your not eyes glaze over? But it's
are we just numb to this now?
Yes, a little bit. As far as I saw that headline, and it feels important. And maybe it's because there isn't a ton of progress. But in the amount of attention it feels like this idea of groomers get, and drag shows, and teachers, and talking about sexual orientation in schools, and all this idea of indoctrinating children. And yet we are still dealing with decades of abuse of that happened in church. But yet when these headlines, when these stories break of, yet again, here's another case, here's another 200 cases, and it kind of just keeps rolling.
What?
But if it was opposite, if it was 200 cases of sexual abuse in a school, or, you know, and some of these were schools, some of them were Catholic schools, but you know what I mean? Like, it feels like something that kind of just gets glossed over now as this investigation is proceeding.
I think you're right, unfortunately. I can remember when the Boston Globe broke the story.
2003? Spotlight?
The Spotlight. Incredible movie. If you've never seen it, you should absolutely watch it. But that goes back a couple decades now. And like you said, and this isn't just the Catholic Church.
No.
There are numerous religious organizations across many different denominations that have discovered this, that have this same problem with covering up the sexual abuse of children by clergy members or higher up members in the church. And maybe part of it is that we don't want to see it. And we don't want to admit that this is real. Because it's too horrible.
It's horrible.
It's too horrible. And it's almost like mass shootings, tragically.
Yeah, and that's where my mind went,
right?
Too.
They happen so often now, it doesn't even stand out anymore.
Yeah. See, and this is where we have to work on this segment. A better segue. Because I was like, there's not much more I want to say about that. And so it's like, we just moved to the next headline, which feels incomplete, but we march forward.
Yes.
And so the next one that caught my eye is former Milwaukee Election Commission Deputy Director Zapata has posted bail. And she's pleading not guilty. This is Kimberly Zapata, to 3 misdemeanor counts of lying in order to obtain an absentee ballot. And the only thing I find about this that's interesting is guess who's representing her?
Michael Gableman.
Not specifically Michael Gableman, but it's the Thomas More Society, which is the conservative law firm that helped Michael Gableman in his taxpayer-funded
review of the 2020 election.
Which turned up nothing.
So why are they, what is the connection there?
I don't know. I don't. And what did she say her motivation was for doing this? To expose a flaw in the system?
It was basically, what I remember of understanding what she originally said was she was so overwhelmed and I'm sure scared because the amount of pressure and threats that election officials in our state, across the country, were receiving in because of the taxpayer-funded 2020 deniers, as far as people not wanting to accept the results, that she wanted to highlight the real problems of how easy it is to do this versus to basically point out that here is where you should be looking, not at this stuff that's not actually a problem.
That's not a thing.
And because she had obtained the military ballots and sent them to Janelle Branchon, you know, very known election denier. But it's interesting that this has now come full circle, that this conservative law firm that's always been on the side of showing that there is fraud is now the ones who are supporting her.
Defending her.
And so, you know, this will move forward, but it just, that connection feels fishy.
Something's twitchy there.
Yes.
Right?
Twitchy, fishy.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
Because I still felt like there was, that story didn't hold up of her motivation to do it. And I couldn't help but think at the time, and this was part of the like election denier playbook, right, is to sow doubt. And I admitted, I think Joe Zepecki was on here that day, that I said, my brain now goes, it's hard to totally not, you know, to admit that there was a part of me that didn't say, well, someone put her up to it. And there is some kind of like behind the scenes conspiracy stuff of so why this happened this close to the election. And that is part of the playbook, is to sow doubt on both sides. And whether you think the 2020 election had, you know, in the face of a pandemic, there was obviously some issues, but there was no major fraud because out of all of the investigations and lawsuits, literally no one has found anything. And then to even be in the place now where we assume there are bad actors and people playing behind the scenes for all of this stuff, including Kimberly Zapata getting fired and risking prison time and misdemeanors for trying to prove that there's other problems. Like, was this the best way to do that?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah. On the supermajority Senate side, Dan Knodel of Germantown has announced that he is running for Alberta Darling's state Senate seat. And this matters because as of right now, there is not a state Senate majority, supermajority, sorry.
Right.
In the Wisconsin legislature. And if Democrats could win this seat, it would stay that way. Granted, there's no announcement of when the special election will be for this, which needs to come down from Governor Tony Evers.
You would think they would want to get it on the April ballot, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm sure Republicans do, but who knows? Maybe Tony will be a little petty off of all of those appointments that the legislature is sitting on, and maybe he'll make them wait for a little while before he'll...
You mean the 150 appointees that Governor Evers, who now has been elected twice, hasn't been able to seat on his boards because the Republican legislature in Wisconsin won't even hold hearings on these people? And so previous appointees can sit on those boards years past their expiration date, like a bad carton of cottage cheese?
That, James.
Okay. I'm just trying to get things clear.
yes. And so that still needs to happen. But my takeaway from this is because Assembly Rep Deb Ndraka is not running, and she is in that state Senate district. So the kind of logical first name on the Democratic side that got thrown out as potential candidates was her name. She has said she is not running. And I've heard no other names at all as far as who could be a good candidate for Democrats in that seat.
Is that pretty solidly red?
Tim Michaels won it by 2 or 3 points.
Okay.
So this is the Mequon.
Theensville.
There's part of Waukesha County, Theensville, north, if you want to say north suburbs of Milwaukee, into kind of moving somewhat west. And so it is more red, but like by, it seems like a couple points versus double-digit points. Could be winnable. But it brings me back to just realizing, because I think this broke while I was out of town, but the idea that Rebecca Clayfish has re-entered the conversation after being on milk cartons for most of the election of Tim Michaels' candidacy. And she's reignited her 1848 project, which was her vehicle that wasn't campaigning prior to her announcing her campaign.
Campaign-ish.
So she is back at the head of that and has said her new stated goal is to recruit conservative candidates up and down the ticket. And that's probably a different topic for a different day, is do we want, like, is it good for democracy for the 1848 project to be trying to put partisans in nonpartisan roles like school boards and things that actually, like, need to pick up the trash? And that's a different topic. But I will commend her as far as putting the platform that she's created in her run for governor into trying to create a bench. And, like, what does that actually look like? Because right now we're in the situation where we had one candidate, the Democrats had one candidate as far as to run in that seat who said they don't want to do it. And so, like, the constant kind of recruitment of good people to run in local elections and also be ready to run when something like this happens. And so while I don't want a bunch of ideologues on school boards, is there any other kind of similar type group as Clayfish's 1848 project to be vetting, training, recruiting candidates for the Democrats? I haven't heard of any. There probably exists, but I haven't heard any. And so I kind of thought that was interesting. And then the last one that caught my eye, Don Zietlow is retiring as president and CEO of Kwik Trip.
Wow.
After 52 years
with the company. Years.
22
wow.
years as president and CEO. And under his reign is when they, I think that's when they started sharing 40% of the company's pre-tax profits with employees.
That's remarkable.
Which, I think Kwik Trip as a political entity backs a lot of Republicans, but I will say has how they run their company and how they treat their employees, I definitely am hats off to them. And so his son, it sounds like, is going to be taking over as a second generation owner. And so, yeah, a little news there. But when we come back, we're going to talk sports to round out this newsy hour. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere, so the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
It's 32 degrees. WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game, even if from time to time they've been a little lame.
Woo-hoo! Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Reminder that we love hearing from you. If you have a topic that you would like to have us cover, or an idea for a guest, or if you have feedback, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. That is a new email, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Big sports weekend.
Yes, it was.
Very big sports weekend. On the national level, unfortunately, USA lost to the Netherlands. So we made it past group play, which was a huge improvement from not qualifying at all in 2018.
Definitely.
But we did lose on Saturday morning. I was there.
Where are you? Did you watch?
We watched at the Third Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee. It was a pretty good turnout. There was a group of very tall. It was funny because we talked about this a little bit. Like the Dutch are very tall. There was a group of young college age students that were all in orange and the only people in there cheering for Netherlands.
Oh.
And one of them was like 6'4". I was like,
oh, wow.
You're clearly Dutch.
you know, my husband and I talked about this. It was really unlikely that USA was going to beat them.
They were like the fourth ranked team. Like they were very good.
Yeah.
And they were clearly the better team. That was not a...
wasn't close.
It was, well, it's not even that it wasn't close, but it was even just watching the game. You're like, oh yeah, they're better than us. their three goals looked very easy compared to the one goal that was kind of an own goal. Like, yeah. And another one, at least in our household.
This was big.
Badgers men's basketball beat Marquette.
Ouch.
It literally, it was a good game. It went to overtime. It was a great game. And it was a game that my dog hated me for because I kept yelling at the TV. But it was funny as we exchanged on our family thread after the game was over that this is a Badger win against Marquette in December is really what kicks off the holiday season for Peter Bry. And so,
isn't that nice? He got everything he wanted.
And so that was fun. But also for Badgers and Marquette, the volleyball, both volleyball teams have advanced to the Sweet 16. Jim Leinhart plans to return. He's the interim Badger football coach, has said that he plans to go back to being the defensive coordinator for UW under Luke Fickell. So not going to the Packers, it sounds like. But speaking of the Packers, man, we do not have a pundit to play back the Packers today. We won't have one next week because there's a bye week. But it's too bad because we finally had something to celebrate.
I know.
Because the Bears still suck.
I did not think they were going to pull that off.
I didn't either, honestly. We watched the whole game. I was working while I was watching. You know, we went into the fourth quarter down 19-10. And how this season has gone, I was not expecting us to come back.
It was looking pretty grim.
And I was trying to think of what funny thing we could do for today's show. I have a very good old friend who is a big Bears fan, and we have a very friendly camaraderie because he's also an Ohio State fan. So he gets to gloat over us when it comes to Big Ten sports, but we get to gloat over him when it comes to the Bears. And I was like, oh, do I reach out to Nick and see if give him a platform to gloat
because they finally beat us. But no, we came back. And like after three quarters of it really not being great, in that fourth quarter, we finally pulled it together. And there was big plays on both sides, like in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was crazy.
For us to come back. And this is what's fun about rivalries, because the fact is, it doesn't really make that big of a difference. Our chances of getting to the playoffs is still a long shot. There is, I guess, technically a 4.8% chance.
Oh!
That we could make it to the playoffs. So it's small. But as, you know, as the classic movie Dumb and Dumber, you're saying there's a chance. You're saying there's a chance.
What do you think the chances are of a guy like you and a girl like me ending up together?
Well, Lloyd, that's difficult to say, and we really don't...
Hit me with it! Just give it to me straight. I came a long way just to see you, Mary. Just... least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah!
It could happen.
What?
It could happen.
It could happen. I mean, technically, it's not 1 out of 1,000,000. It's 4.8 out of 100, because that's how percentages work. So it's not a total lost cause, though I'm not sure any of us are necessarily holding our breath. But I would say it still feels like the fun watching factor. I think some, you know, people kind of gleaning that LaFleur has not lost the locker room, that they're still following his lead. They still trust him. Watson's really fun to watch. So, like, that's encouraging. And it's just always fun to beat the Bears.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And it's, you know, snowball's chance in hell, but it's kind of like a Princess Bride where the team was only mostly dead. And so now they've kind of come back a little bit. And... It's to see them revive and actually feel some hope. If they had lost this,
I know.
I think there would have been...
Well, because you could see glimmers and they would cut to Roger. You could tell Rogers was fired up.
Was into it.
And that last run, I forgot who it was, but the way that he dove, like did his swan dive into the end zone. And, you know, a win like that to kind of remind them of the fun they're having, and like it bolsters their spirits.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, we have a bye week. And so regardless of postseason chances, it kind of goes into this week, not so downtrodden and potentially finishing up the season, no matter what happens kind of in like the way the wild card and playoff picks happen, that, you know, it ends up being more of like a 500 season versus we're just so spoiled.
Yes, we are. For a couple decades now.
And so, but, we just love being the Bears.
Take the win, and Rodgers, you're lucky you still got to own them, because it was looking iffy there for
a
while.
The memes that come out either way, right? Well, we're going to ride that weekend into the bye week. And hopefully we'll still have a couple more wins in us by the end of the season. So we'll have to hunt down another. But maybe we'll get Aaron Nagler back to close out the season, since he's the one who started with us. But all right, well, we are going to go to the top of the hour news. When we come back, Dr. John Raymond will be here to talk about RSV, influenza, and COVID. This is
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.